Thanks for joining us for another episode of Lid Radio Podcast. I am your host for today, Francesca. For this episode, we have a very special guest with us, Louise Nicholson. Louise is an entrepreneur and coach with over 20 years' experience in business, journalism, and public relations. Most recently, Louise has built and sold an award-winning communications agency and a summer school before joining a city PR firm as a partner. She is also the author of The Entrepreneurial Myth. Based on analysis that spans over 30 years, the book tackles the myths that surround entrepreneurship and proposes how legislators, educators, and entrepreneurs themselves might redesign enterprise for the health and wealth of all. So Louise, welcome.
Thank you very much.
For you to be here.
Thanks for asking me.
We're in a really interesting tipping point at the moment where the human side of business is at the top of everyone's agendas. However, your book explains that this is not the case with entrepreneurs. I'm particularly interested in two main areas, diversity and mental health. So firstly, when you say the myth is male, can you explain a bit about how you came to this conclusion and what it means for female entrepreneurs?
Yeah, of course. If I asked you to close your eyes and name an entrepreneur, what would you say? Name one.
Steve Jobs, probably.
There you go, right? It's a guy. So we generally portray entrepreneurs as men. And that's why we use the prefix, you know, female entrepreneur, because a regular entrepreneur would be a white guy, basically.
Sure.
And so this is a bit of a Serena Williams moment where, just as Serena Williams insisted that she be called an athlete, not a female athlete,
yeah.
It's in the same way we need to drop the prefix. And an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur is an entrepreneur.
Sure.
Ultimately, there are more similarities than differences in sort of entrepreneurial motivation between the sexes. And there is some evidence that women prefer different terminology, founder or owner or multi-hyphenate or any combination of the above.
Sure.
But the problem is money follows the entrepreneurial myth. So private equity and venture capital investments tend to favour the male stereotype. And so that, I think, results in female teams, female-led teams, being at a disadvantage. So we know that 2.2% of the $85 billion invested by venture capitalists goes to women. So just 2.2%, which is shocking.
That's staggering, yeah.
And then if you look closer to home, that's a US stat. If you look closer to home, although women make up 51% of the UK population, only 17% of UK SMEs are led by women.
Wow.
So there's some real disparity in that, which sort of leads me to say the entrepreneurial myth is male. So the stereotype, the misrepresentation of an entrepreneur is male.
Sure. Yeah, there's been a bit of a debate recently about the term mumpreneur as well, and actually that doesn't seem to make sense because you're just an entrepreneur. The fact that you're a mum as well doesn't need to necessarily be announced. And so I've seen a lot of articles recently where sort of the mums are fighting back, and actually having mumpreneur is a bit patronising. That's kind of been a debate,
yeah,
I've been reading. So yeah, it kind of all feeds in back to that.
Yeah,
actually,
it's horribly saccharine, pink, patronising.
Yeah.
You know, to be defined as such. And that's the problem. The money follows,
yep,
the name.
Exactly. Sure. In regard to mental health, the stats are quite revealing. So you're significantly more likely to suffer from a mental health issue if you're an entrepreneur. Why do you think this is, and how can we make sure we aren't making our entrepreneurs sick?
I suppose what's interesting is why we're surprised that entrepreneurs have higher mental health issues than the regular population,
yep,
because we know from research that entrepreneurial work is more uncertain, it's more complex, it's more stressful, it's more pressured, and it's less lucrative than corporate work. And that,
yep,
those are research findings, not my own particular,
yep,
opinion. But and we also know that around 90% of entrepreneurial businesses will fail. And those are stats from the UK Treasury and Harvard Business Review. So when you look at these things, the interesting thing is why we're shocked.
Sure.
There's great bravado about the stats, and phenomenally sort of successful entrepreneurs urges on. But there's this contradiction. If a business is successful, society reaps the benefit. Yeah. There's jobs, wealth, tax, great deal of glamour in the entrepreneurial world. Yeah. But if the entrepreneur fails, they privately shoulder that psychological burden, but also the financial cost of that failure. So, I mean, I'm still a believer in entrepreneurship. Sure. You know, I built and sold my own business. It's a great privilege to do that. I believe entrepreneurship can literally change the world. But at the same time, we need to be much more careful, much more thoughtful about how we look after and support those wealth generators.
Yeah.
And so I think the knock-on effect from these sort of stresses is these higher mental health rates. And the most recent research is by an organisation called We Are 360, who found that 77% of founders felt their businesses affected their mental health. Wow. So there's more and more data coming out, and we need to sit up and pay attention to that. So we can sort of redesign enterprise, not get rid of it completely. We desperately need sure. the energy and ideas coming out of entrepreneurship, but we just need to think again about how we want it both ways with entrepreneurs. We want the successful businesses will take all that tax and that money and that wealth, but we're not looking after the entrepreneur at the heart of that.
Sure.
A lot of the response to this sort of emerging mental health picture, you know, focuses on giving entrepreneurs coping strategies to cope with all these different stresses. But I actually think we should consider the structural flaw at the heart of enterprise, and we should approach this 90% failure rate differently. We need to learn the necessary business lessons and, you know, redesign enterprise. Mm-hmm. So they've done that in the healthcare industry, in aviation and energy industries. And my call really is that we start thinking about entrepreneurial failure in the same way.
Sure. So what experiences have you had with the myths of entrepreneurialism? How did it shape your journey as an entrepreneur? And what do you wish you'd known at the start?
Well, I wrote the thesis, the original thesis, at the University of Aberdeen, nearly 20 years ago. And then I went off, I had my family, I was an entrepreneur in the creative industries for 7 years. And it was that experience of building a business from scratch that made me think, hang on, I'm on to something here.
Sure.
And that prompted me really to rerun the research last year. I wish I had known how tough it was. Okay. So there is great pleasure in building a business. You know, I describe part of the book as a love letter to entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing like it. It's profoundly satisfying building a team, winning awards, creating something unique. But I wish I had known that I wasn't alone at those brutal moments, 3 a.m., yeah. kitchen table, the burdens of running a small business in a tight-knit community. It's pretty grueling stuff. So there's this balance missing in the debate. There's plenty of entrepreneurial romance out there in films, in podcasts, in books, in biographies. But I wanted to just show the shadow a little. Sure. And in that way, we can learn from the businesses that don't make it. We can learn from the leaders who don't make it. And we can, I think, claw back some of that loss. And that will have a profound impact on the economy. Yeah. But it also has an unquantifiable impact on an individual entrepreneur's life.
Yeah, of course. So I was going to ask you, what are the next steps? How can we dismantle the myths and improve the human side of entrepreneurship for good? It sounds to me like it's all about raising awareness and sort of having that conversation about the good and the bad. But what are your thoughts?
I think so. I think we've got to have that conversation. It's got to be real. So there are anecdotal stories coming out of London's Silicon Roundabout. Sure. There's stuff you can find. Rand Fisher, for example, wrote a great sort of expose and top tips book from about Silicon yeah. Valley. There's some really great material there that starts to raise awareness. But I want us to pull this together into a coherent conversation. So we start being slightly more outraged at the fact that 90% of entrepreneurial businesses fail, and that we start to see the cost to the individuals involved in that process,
yeah.
the psychological cost, but also the financial waste. And I think if we pulled our experiences, but more importantly, pulled our understanding of what went wrong, we started to categorize like that, as other industries have tackled failure and tackled performance, then I think we could actually increase the business success rate.
Yeah.
And look after people better. So I want to raise awareness, yes, but I want to, more than that, create a shared conversation, a movement perhaps, because entrepreneurship isn't a lone pursuit, and I want people to see it for the collective activity it really is. And collective entrepreneurship benefits from diverse views and skills and from a sort of range of financial and human capital. And we know that venture capitalists basically ascribe more importance to the capabilities of the team anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm like, let's get this in perspective, and let's get the entrepreneur off the pedestal, enable him or her to reach out to the community of talents around them, and start naming the team as hero instead.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. So where can we find out more from you and more information about The Entrepreneurial Myth, your book?
Well, there's information on my website, which is louisenicholson.com. No H in Nicholson.
Good to know.
And also on Instagram at Entrepreneurial Myth.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Louise, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media, at Lit Publishing, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as well, for more information about our books, experts' opinions, and, of course, more podcasts with thought leaders such as Louise. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.